Good evening again. Why don't we take a minute and pray before we jump into our subjects? I feel like some subjects we just need more grace than others from God to really help us to grab a hold of it, but also to apply it to our lives. So let's pray. Father, we just want to look to you as we look at this important subject tonight. And we ask you, Lord, for your grace to be able to hear what you'd want to say to us, but also your grace to apply the truths that Solomon pointed out to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. When I was about 12 or 13 years old, my three brothers and I were playing tackle football with some other neighborhood kids. We were playing in the backyard of one of their houses, and this particular friend's backyard was surrounded on three sides by kind of rows of bushes or shrubs, hedges, and then the house itself bordered it, and so it ended up being a great playing area for tackle football and other things we wanted to do. Well, at one point during the game, one of the friends on the other side caught the football, and I was the one that was closest to him, and so it was my job to tackle him. And I had a great shot at it, and I went right at him, right for just below the waist there, and I tackled him down and ran him right into those shrubs. And the two of us went right into him, and then we both kind of collapsed on the ground. We both got scraped up just a little bit, but obviously he got the worst of it because I'd driven him into it. And while the two of us were still lying on the ground there, all of a sudden this guy appeared out of nowhere. I'd never seen him before, probably 20, 21 years old, and he walked over to where I was. He bent down over me, and he began punching me in the face. And he hit me 5 or 6 times. Just pounding me in the face. And then he got up and started to walk away. And as he did, and I'm trying to figure out what on earth is going on here, as he was walking away, he said, "That will teach you never to tackle my brother like that again." I'd never met this brother because he was so much older than my friend who was playing football with us. And I wasn't badly hurt. I think I got a little bit of a black eye through it. But that afternoon, we were talking about it. My brothers and I were. And I don't remember if I told my parents. I think we may have. I'm not exactly sure. What I found out, though, is that this young man who had attacked me had that very week been released from either prison or jail. I don't know which. What's his offense? Assault and battery. And when I heard that, I thought I just need to press charges against him because this guy obviously hasn't learned his lesson. Now, I didn't end up doing that, but it did make me wonder, how is it possible that somebody who would just get out of either jail or prison, I assume it was jail, but how someone could just get out of jail for assault and battery to within a day or two of getting out commit the same offense. It's like, what is wrong with you? And I realized that this guy had a serious issue with anger or his temper. He's somebody that perhaps thought that the only answer to every problem is through your fists. Try to make things right. And the thing is, I was so small when this took place. And it just was ridiculous, the whole thing. Now, I recognize we all get angry at times. Every one of us gets angry, and anger in and of itself is not sinful. I know that to be the case. Jesus himself got angry on several occasions, and God himself gets angry. In fact, there's an Old Testament verse that says God expresses wrath every single day. God gets angry as he sees certain things that happen. He gets angry, and so anger in and of itself is not wrong. It's just whether it's the right kind of anger expressed in the right way over the right things. But we all experience anger. And I think the way we express our anger oftentimes is a reflection of how we were raised. Some of you are raised in a household where anger was expressed verbally and maybe even physically. And so the anger in your home was kind of a little bit maybe of a more of a violent nature. And then some were raised more perhaps like my upbringing where anger wasn't expressed at all, hardly. I saw my dad get angry once. He got angry one time, and it was at our dog. And he literally kind of grabbed the dog by the scruff of the neck, and he tossed him across our little trailer, our traveling trailer, you know, that we did on vacations. He got really mad at the dog. That was the only time I saw him get angry. That wasn't healthy either. Because I grew up thinking that anger was wrong in and of itself. The problem is we get angry. And if we don't express it well, what happens? It chews us up inside. We're still angry. It just comes out in unhealthy ways, in other ways. And so how we deal with this really, really matters. Merriam-Webster defines anger in this way. It's an emotional excitement induced by intense displeasure. I'm not pleased with something. It's an emotional excitement. They give some synonyms for anger to help flesh it out a little bit. According to Merriam-Webster, some synonyms are to enrage, incense, infuriate, ire, mad, to madden, to steam up, annoy, irk, vex, aggravate, exasperate, irritate, nettle, provoke, boil, boil over, bristle, burn, flare up, fume, rage, seethe, to breathe fire, fly into a rage, get hot under the collar, get one's blood or dander up, hit the ceiling, lose one's temper, see red. It's amazing to me how many words and phrases there are that describes this emotion. It's just reflected in so many different ways. The antonym of it, according to Webster's, is to calm or to calm down. Now, over the past several weeks, we've been talking about Solomon's writings in the book of Proverbs. He compiled a list of wisdom sayings according to wisdom that I believe God gave to him. Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God responded and gave him wisdom and insights, so that I think he was the wisest man to ever live apart from Jesus. I think he even had more understanding than someone like Moses and other people in the Bible. And he compiled these Proverbs in the Old Testament book of Proverbs, in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, and then he also penned the book Song of Solomon. And over the last several weeks, we've been looking at what he's had to say about a variety of things, and today I want to look at what he had to say about anger. And I want to look at the problem of anger and then some of the solutions that he came up with. Because he talks about both. He talks about what's wrong with anger when it's expressed inappropriately, what's wrong with it, but he also has some solutions to the problem. Now, I want to mention that ultimately, anger is one of those things that I think isn't fixed immediately, and oftentimes we just need God's grace. We just need God's Spirit to help us with this. When we put our faith in Christ, the Spirit of God comes to live in us. He begins to change us on the inside out. Often it takes some time. But Solomon had a lot to say about this. My main takeaway today, though, is this, that there's a better way for handling anger than to get angry. A better way to handle it than just getting angry with people. There might be some other things that we can do. So what's wrong with anger? Well, let's look at what Solomon said about it. In Proverbs 15 and verse 18, Solomon said, "A hot-tempered man stirs up conflict, but a man slow to anger calms strife." And so there's a contrast here. A hot-tempered man stirs up conflict, fights, problems. A person who's slow to anger calms strife. Now, by the way, as I've mentioned other weeks, it talks about a hot-tempered man. And I believe Solomon was writing the book of Proverbs from the perspective of a father to his son. And so he'll talk about man, but obviously it applies to men and women alike. And so the first problem with anger that I would identify from Solomon is that it incites conflict. It leads to fights and arguments and other problems. And you know that's the case. There have been many times I was very calm and someone came at me in an angry way, and it's amazing how fast anger can well up within me and how fast I can jump into it. And that is the nature of anger. In Proverbs 15:1, Solomon put it this way: "A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath." A gentle answer turns it away. And so oftentimes part of the problem is that when we're angry, it causes fights, it causes conflicts. What else is wrong with anger? Well, Solomon indicates that it leads to reckless actions. It causes us to do foolish things sometimes. In Proverbs 14, 16, and 17, Solomon said, a wise man is cautious and turns from evil, but a fool is easily angered and is careless. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man who schemes is hated. Now, there are two words that relate to my point here. One is that he's careless. One who's easily angered ends up doing careless things. And second, a quick-tempered person acts foolishly. They do foolish things. Now, once again, I know we see this. We see this all the time in the world in which we live. I talk a lot about driving. Just love to drive. I was riding with my daughter this past week, and I was providing a little bit of a commentary about some of the drivers around there, like the fact that this person's not moving over, or this person, they did not use their turn signal. It's just a commentary of driving. And my daughter said to me something to this effect. She said, you know, Dad, you're not guilty of road rage. And I was really encouraged that she said, you're not, I mean, I've driven with you for years. You're not guilty of road rage. She said, I have, though, driven with people that are. And I have some friends I've driven with that are guilty of road rage. And that didn't make me feel very comforted. She said this one friend of hers got mad constantly. He was always furious when he was driving. And he would have these encounters where he was driving within a foot of the bumper of the next person. He wanted them to know he was angry with them, and he'd roll down the window, and he was the kind of guy that was shouting, and he was the kind of one who was honking his horn. I don't do those things. It's not because I have so much self-control. It's because I want to live. That's the world in which we live, right? I mean, people in their anger do foolish things sometimes these days, don't they? You get someone mad, what are they going to do? You don't know anymore what they're going to do. And I think when you do things like that in your anger, it's foolish. It creates some problems. I was thinking of a friend of mine as I was preparing this, and this particular friend is not a good driver. I haven't driven with him in some time, but he drives on the center line. You know, when you have the two solid lines, you're not supposed to cross over. He thinks that's where your tire goes. I kid you not, that's how he drives. His tire is between the two yellow lines. And so I'm driving with him one time, and I say, do you realize that you're driving on the center line and that you're making people swerve to avoid you, and you're making them mad? I can see their faces. They're mad at you. And he said, yeah, I know. And I'm thinking, well, why are you driving like this? He said, well, you know, I realize I could probably change there. But he said, you know, I was once beat up for this. He said, one day I was driving like that, and some guys came from the other direction, and they got really, really mad at me. And they came and did a U-turn, and they began to follow me, and they began to chase me. And I was driving here and there. I ended up in a neighborhood. I was trying to get away. I ended up on a dead-end street. I had nowhere to go. Stopped the car. They jumped out. They had baseball bats. They broke my windshield and my side windows. They dragged me out of the car, hit me with the bats. I ended up in the hospital. Didn't suffer permanent harm, but it's because of this. And I said, why are you continuing to drive this way then? It's foolish. And he was unwilling to change. He just was unwilling to change. I thought, well, you're going to get beat up again, but it really illustrates the other point that these other guys, because you realize what they did in that moment's time could have sent them away for years. One inability to control their anger, one situation like that, and they end up doing something that's really foolish. And I read stories in the paper all the time about people that are in some kind of bar fight or whatever else, and things get a little bit out of control, and they lose it, and then they do one thing, and it impacts the rest of their lives. And Solomon acknowledged that. He said it leads to foolish, reckless actions. You do sometimes things that will ruin your life. The third reason that it's a problem is that it leaves us vulnerable. In Proverbs 25 and verse 28, Solomon wrote, a man who does not control his temper is like a city whose wall is broken down. It's like everything that comes at you gets in. And people that have a temper many times feel that they're stronger for it. Like they think it's a picture of strength. Like, see how strong, see how tough I am? But Solomon says, no, it's just the opposite is the case. Just the opposite. It shows how weak you are. A scholar by the name of Dr. Wolvert, in explaining this verse, said, without walls, a city was vulnerable to any enemy attacks. And an undisciplined person who lacks self-control is also vulnerable to trouble. Some other scholars put it this way. They said, as such, a city can be plundered and laid waste without trouble. So a man who knows not to hold in check his desires and affections is in constant danger of blindly following his impulse, the impulse of his unbridled passions. We're in a vulnerable place. What comes to my mind with this point in terms of the city being broken into and how vulnerable we are is that sometimes people use the expression, you made me mad. But I understand from counselors that that's not a true statement. No one ever makes you mad. Nobody can make you mad. If you don't want to get mad, they can't make you mad. They can do things that could incite that, but you choose your response. But when we're the type that are given to anger, we are easily attacked. And in a very real sense, the other person wins every time because they get in right in that spot. We're so vulnerable when we are given to temper. Now again, anger can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. The question is whether we're angry about the right things, whether or not we're handling the anger in the right way. Just getting angry is not the problem. Sometimes we need to get angry, and sometimes even raising our voice and taking some pretty strong actions is appropriate. But oftentimes it's not. That's why Paul said, be angry, yet don't sin. And don't let the sun go down on your anger. You recognize there's an appropriate anger, but don't cross that line into a place where it's a negative thing. Now, what advice does Solomon give? I mean, I'm suggesting here today that there's a better way for us to handle our anger than just getting angry at people. What's the better way? Well, I'm going to use an acrostic here for the word anger, which is, I know, a speck on the corny side, but you can maybe remember it a little bit more that way. Each letter of the word anger stands for something. A in the word anger is to avoid angry people. That's not what I'm saying. It's what Solomon said. Proverbs 22, verses 24 to 25. Don't make friends with an angry man, and don't be a companion of a hot-tempered man. And again, it could be women as well. Or you'll learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. You'll get in trouble if you hang around people like that. You'll become like it, and you'll end up in the same trouble that they get in. So Solomon's saying, well, one step is just don't hang around people that are angry. Now, this isn't always practical. I recognize that angry person might be someone that is your boss. It could be someone you're married to. In that case, what I would say then when we talk about avoiding an angry person is that when you see things are headed this direction, to walk away. To say, listen, we're not going to deal with this now. I'm not going to talk about this while you're so angry. I'm not going to put myself in the middle of this situation. Avoid angry people when possible. The N in the word anger stands for niceness, which is a word. Overcome anger with niceness. In Proverbs 25 and verse 21, Solomon said, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat, and if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Overcome the evil or the animosity with something that's positive, something that's good. You can win people over this way by being kind and loving to them despite how they treat you, that you treat them in a loving way. Proverbs 10 and verse 12, Solomon put it this way, hatred stirs up conflicts, but love covers all offenses. And if we could learn to not respond or react to people that are angry, but instead show love instead and look for ways to love, look for ways to win the person, that's the better approach, because love is stronger. You know, love is stronger than hate, and grace is stronger than any offense we commit, and mercy is stronger, and these are stronger things that we can do, and we can overcome the evil with good, so be nice. And by the way, I think our ability to be nice is related to our confidence that God is watching the situation. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 12, he said, don't take your own revenge. For vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. And then he quotes this. He says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Because God will take care of it. You know that God will take care of it. It's not our job to make sure that they get it right. It's our job to love. Let God take care of this. And so we overcome the evil with the good. Avoid the person, be nice. The G in the word anger is gentleness. Lower the temperature with a gentle answer. In Proverbs 15, verses 1 and 2, Solomon said, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive, but the mouth of fools blurts out foolishness. What if we could just pause and be wise about the things we say? A gentle answer has the effect, Solomon said, of turning away anger. And it's really true. I mean, we know this is the case. In my lifetime, I've watched a significant change take place in customer service representatives. When you call a company with some kind of complaint, it's surprising how different the response is today than it was 30 years ago. It used to be if you would call and complain about something, they'd get mad, you'd be mad, nothing would happen. But now when you call just about any customer service place, and by the way, just before the call is taken, you'll hear this message that says, we're recording this for customer training purposes, because they want their customer service reps to know we're listening to what you're saying to these people. But you call, and what do they say? Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, that sounds like that must be really hard. And they got this nice voice. You can't get mad at them. You know, if they'll give you just a window to get upset, like they get a little bit hostile, then you can jump down their throat. But when they're so nice, and they're taught to be that way, diffuse it. Talk to them softly. This is science. A study was done by Kenyon College that made this conclusion. When a person is shouted at, he simply cannot help but shout back. It's just something, our reaction is, you just can't hardly stop it. You can use this scientific knowledge to keep another person from becoming angry. Control the other person's tone of voice by your own voice. You can control their tone by yours. Psychology has proved that if you keep your voice soft, you will not become angry. Psychology has accepted as scientific the old biblical injunction, a soft answer turns away wrath, and it's really true. This is a very practical thing we can do when you see that someone's getting angry, to respond in gentleness. The E in the word anger is end. It stands for the word end. End it before it starts. End the conflict before it starts. In Proverbs 17, 14, Solomon said, to start a conflict is to release a flood. Stop the dispute before it breaks out. What if we could stop it when we see that it's getting to this place that's not healthy? Now, sometimes you have to wrestle through things. I understand that. But we've all seen this happen where the conflict breaks out like a flood. It's like, what happened? Things were peaceful a moment ago, and then a few things were said, and all of a sudden it's like a flood, it just bursts out. Solomon says the wiser thing to do is stop the dispute before it breaks out. Say, you know, I see where this is headed right now. This isn't going to be a profitable discussion. We don't have to discuss this right now. Again, sometimes you have to wrestle through some things, but it's better to end it before it even starts, if possible. And that's hard to do. Because if you're like I am, I like to get the last word. I like to be the one that says the final thing, like, gotcha, and then let's, okay, we'll stop the fight as soon as I say what I'm going to say here. And it takes a lot of self-control to say, no, I do not need to say this. It's okay. I know they misunderstand my position. I know that they got it wrong, but it's okay. I don't have to enter into this thing. End it before it starts. So we avoid angry people. We try to replace it with niceness, A-N. The G is to be gentle in our speech. The E is end it before it starts. And the R is to get to the root of the problem. Get to the root of your anger. Get this one from Proverbs 14 and verse 29, where Solomon said, a patient person shows great understanding. A patient person shows that they have a lot of understanding, but a quick-tempered one promotes foolishness. The word shows there, by the way, in the Hebrew language means to kind of put on display. When a person shows a tremendous amount of patience, especially when they're being attacked, you just look at the person and it's on display for all to see. That's a person of wisdom. That's a person of understanding. But I'm suggesting here today that oftentimes understanding involves what's behind the anger in the first place. Counselors will tell you that anger is a secondary emotion. It's not a primary one. In other words, people express their anger, but usually the problem is not what you're angry about. It's something back here. There's a root cause. There's some reason why you're angry. And if we could identify that, it would help us. And oftentimes it's odd what that thing might be. Because it might be, for example, insecurity. The reason people really attack other people or get angry is because actually something you said tapped into some insecurity they have. And that's why they're responding. And if you could get to the root of that, you'd have some understanding. You might even have some sympathy for the person if you understood it. This is why they attacked. They felt threatened. Some of you have seen my Facebook post where I was poking a rattlesnake last week with a long stick. I was very gentle with it. I wasn't trying to aggravate it, but I did want a little video capture on my Facebook page of it kind of rattling and whatever. I kept my distance. Don't try this at home. Got to put in that disclaimer. Why do they strike rattlesnakes? They don't want to bite anybody, really, unless it's food, but they don't. They warn you. Why is it that they're going to do that? Well, it's because they feel trapped. And so it's just a response to feeling trapped. It's not that they're excessively angry. And I think people do exactly the same thing. And if we could understand why it is. An author by the name of Tom Stevens, in his book, You Choose to Be Happy, said this. Someone calls you an inconsiderate idiot. And you feel angry. Someone cuts in front of you on the freeway. That never happens. And you feel angry. Someone attacks your friend and you feel angry. Someone tells you that you'll not get the pay raise you think you deserve and you feel angry. What causes you to feel angry? What do all these situations have in common? Underlying anger is caused by a perceived loss of control over factors involving important values. The values in the above examples might be pride, or a pride is being attacked, or it might be getting someplace on time, or someone you love might be the thing we're valuing, and that's why we're angry. It has to do with money, or that we don't feel like we were treated fairly. We're frustrated about not getting what we want or expect. I realize that for me, the main reason I get angry about things is this thing. I'm just frustrated. You know, the driving thing, I wouldn't be so frustrated if I'd leave 5 minutes earlier, but if I leave when I don't have much time and I have to get to point B and I'm at point A, every person in between me and my destination can be a frustration if they're not following the rules. If they're in the passing lane, but they're not passing, for example. And so there's a condition that's outside of my control, and things happen all the time. Oftentimes when I'm preparing a message, something will happen to me that week that will kind of test me in the area, and this happened to me yesterday. with the anger, because my wife and I were preparing to go on a trip to Ohio, a short day trip. We had a nephew that was getting married, and I had to get some things ready, and I was gathering some letters that I needed to mail, and I had to return some videos and some other things, and things started going wrong as I was preparing to go. The goal was simply to put 4 envelopes in the mailbox, but I set them on top of the car, and then all of a sudden they slipped down, and one of the videos got lost, and the letters got lost, and where did everything go? And then I go to bend down to get something, and I bang my head, and I'm starting to get angry. And it was one thing after another. The next thing you know, I was boxing up boxes and putting them in a huge garbage bag, which wasn't what I was supposed to be doing, but in order to find the envelope, I wondered if it fell in the boxes, and so I'm crushing all the boxes, and the next I got all this garbage going, and it's like, what was I trying to do again? And everything took me 15 minutes. Every little thing. I started laughing at one point. I said, okay, fine, you know. It's like ridiculous sometimes, and we get frustrated, but I'm telling you that there are other things. When I've talked to some friends of mine who do counseling about people I know who struggle with anger, or if I've struggled with anger, they'll say, don't look at the anger. You got to look at what's behind it. What is the thing causing it? And there's almost always something there. And I know in my case, I'm either frustrated or else there's something, insecurity or something about me. If someone gets close to it, I'm going to get angry, and that's going to push you away so you don't get close to my vulnerability. And if instead I could be humble enough to say, I struggle with this, and the reason I got angry with you, if my wife and I have a disagreement, to be able to say, listen, honey, this wasn't your fault. You know, the reason I was angry is because of this. Because I realized I got a little angry with my wife about that other incident. I should have told her. But I should have said, honey, you know, I kind of got impatient with you, but it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with these letters that fell off my car. It had to do with hitting my head. It had to do with losing this and all these other things. That's what it's really about. And if we can get to the root of it, I think it'll help. So avoid angry people. Overcome with nice deeds. Be gentle with your speech. End it before it starts, and then deal with the root of it. Now, I think sometimes with a subject like anger, there's sometimes more to it. I think sometimes we need to talk to someone about it, a counselor, someone that could help us deal with it. And I think it takes time. And if people are going to be working on anger, you give them a lot of grace. I think one of the most important things to realize about this, though, is that I think we won't overcome anger and a variety of other things in our lives if we cannot learn what it means to walk in step with God's Spirit who lives inside of us. Because Paul wrote that the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of God's Spirit in the life of a Christian, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Well, many of those have to do with anger. And before Paul even wrote that, he said the fruit of the flesh is wrath, anger, and a variety of other things. But if we could learn to walk and step in the Spirit, and this is why we encourage you to develop your relationship with God and ask God to help you with this, that when you're struggling with it, say, God, I need your grace. I just need your grace. I want to walk in your strength that you provide, because I don't think this is something we can often fight alone. But these principles can help. There'll be opportunities where you could end it right there before it ends up being a problem, you know? And you can use your tone differently, gentleness. You can be kind to other people. And I think all those would help. Let me close with one last verse here. In Proverbs, Solomon writes, patience is better than power, and controlling one's temper than capturing a city. I love this verse because it's saying your ability to really control yourself is better than your ability to control a city, control this person here and what's inside than what's out there. I mean, it might be a big deal to capture a city, but if someone could learn to capture this, Solomon said that's a lot better to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the wisdom that you gave to Solomon as he observed life. He just learned so many lessons about what works and what doesn't. And we ask you, Lord, that you give us grace as we just consider these things and we attempt to apply them to our lives. We need, O Lord, your Spirit to help us with this. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.